When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Donna Mitchell from your Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.
Wow, he had arms like octopuses right there.
You know what? Playing the Celtics tonight, every Cavs player better have arms like octopuses and snakes. And we'll see if our next guest agrees with that, as he is calling live from Boston, Massachusetts. Related tonight, he's going to be at the TD Garden, calling the first-round playoff game between the Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. We're talking about Tim Alcorn. What's up, Timmy? How are you, bud?
Hey, man. Who else would I rather talk to from Beantown than the best pick-and-roll combo in camp?
There we go. He's the man, the myth, the legend, Tim Alcorn, getting ready for round two of the playoffs. And before we go there, let's go back to round one, Timmy. And it took seven games, and thank God for home court advantage. But at halftime, I got to be honest with you, I didn't know if the Cavaliers were going to be able to come back and win that. And my goodness, who knows what might have happened with the organization. But they did win Game 7 because of a huge second half. From calling it from the Joe Tate perch, what did you see different in the second half from the Cavaliers?
Well, I'll disagree with you a little bit. At halftime, I actually felt pretty good. Now, when they were down 18 midway through the second quarter, it was pretty dire. It was bleak. That right. place was quiet. But, Kenny, I thought they won the game, per se, in the final 5-6 minutes of that second quarter. They got it down to 8. Okay. Orlando had the last 2 points of the half, so it was 10 at the half. But the Cavs had momentum. The crowd had gotten back into it. 10 points in today's NBA, you can make that up. So, but then what happened in the second half, I think the Cavs took the momentum of going into halftime and really exploded in that third quarter. Boy, Max Strus, his third quarters in Game 5 and Game 7 were huge, and he kind of ignited them. Of course, Donovan's play was just magnificent, and you could see the vice grip really tightening with Orlando, that young team, Game 7 inexperience. Don't get me wrong, they're a team on the rise in the East, and they'll learn from this, but it was tough for them to handle, especially, as you alluded to, home court. And once that place got roaring, it just became a Cavs avalanche in that second half.
Tim, I have a real quick question, because as it pertains to the Knicks and, of course, Boston, and two, I guess, iconic facilities, even though TD Garden is newer than the original Garden in Boston Gardens, but from New York and the Knicks haven't won a championship since, I think, 1973, 51 years versus 16 years. Explain the differences between the Garden and Madison Square Garden.
Well, the old Boston Garden was a dump.
Was it?
But it had, pardon me?
I said, was it? I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, the old Boston Garden, I mean, it was really a bad arena. Now, it had such historical significance between, you know, the Celtics and the Bruins with Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito and all of that, but no, TD Garden doesn't have the aura that the old Boston Garden has. It does have the parquet floor and all the banners, but it just doesn't have that same feel that the old Boston Garden had, nor the same stench. Now, down in New York, you've got Madison Square Garden, and they call it the Mecca of basketball, and there is a special feeling about Madison Square Garden. You feel it when you walk in there, just the history, and not just of the basketball, but everything that has unfolded at Madison Square Garden over the years. So I think there's a little more of a special feeling with Madison Square Garden because it's the original.
Here's what I'm getting at, too. I watched a little bit of the Pacers game last night in the Knicks, and I don't know if that fan base is just so rabid, so hungry for a championship, because, like I said, it's been 51 years since the last time the Knicks flew a banner in that place. And we see teams struggle with that. We saw the Cavaliers struggle with a long Orlando team, a team that maybe got into their head a little bit. and it took seven games. I didn't think it was going to go seven games. So I'm looking for something that I can use to my advantage, and maybe if we can take a little bit of the crowd out of it. How do the chances for the Cavaliers to shoot over the Celtics versus over Orlando? Because Orlando seemed to be so much longer than the Celtics.
Oh, they are. I mean, when Orlando went big, you know, with Jonathan Isaac, with Wendell Carter, Paolo's 6'10 in his own right, that was a lot of length to deal with. Boston is not a big basketball team, especially with Porzingis being out. Basically, he's all the size they have. They come in with Horford, but, you know, L's been in the league for 18 years now, and he's not going to give you 35, 40 minutes per game. So they're not a big team. They live, die, eat, sleep, breathe off the three ball. They are just going to shoot three balls all night long. They shot the most in the NBA, had one of the highest percentages in the NBA. So they don't necessarily rely on their size. So they rely on their shooting with Tatum, with Brown, with Holiday, with Derek White. White was really the star of the Miami series for them. So it isn't a team that relies on that length, and perhaps that plays to the Cavaliers' advantages. Listen, you know, the old tail of the tape, to use a boxing term, there aren't too many numbers that skew to the Cavaliers' side. So they're going to have to play a lot better than they played against Orlando. That's just a flat-out fact.
Having a great time talking Cavs Celtics basketball with the radio voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers. Follow him on Twitter, at Cavs Alcorn. He is Tim Alcorn, checking in live from Boston again tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off here on WHBC. Timmy, I saw the picture you sent to me today via text message of your viewpoint. JT, he's sitting where I was sitting basically for the women's Final Four, in the corner up high, far away from the court. How the hell are you supposed to call a game from that angle where at the TD Bank Garden?
Actually, correct you on one little bit. It's not up high, it's down low. I wouldn't mind if it was high, because if it was high,
okay, all right,
the people once they stand. Basically, if your listeners can picture where the tunnel goes in at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, where the Cavs go into the tunnel and where that rail is, we sit right on that rail. So we're behind the basket. You can't see anything at the other end of the floor. It's a miserable seat. It's one of the worst in the NBA. The Celtics are completely out of NBA compliance with that broadcast location, but that's getting too deep into the weeds. But yeah, it's a horrible location, but, you know, it's the Boston Celtics, so you can't say anything, even though I just did.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want. Yeah, you did, and deservedly so. And if you need me to sign a damn petition, I'll sign it for you, and I'll pass it around on social media and get that sucker signed, because they still think they're better than ever. We just had the Bostonian checking in with us on the show earlier, and I had to listen to that crap from him. So that's the arrogance that is Boston, no matter where they're at. Timmy, Jared Allen. What do we know, anything new about his availability for tonight, for this series, anything on those ribs?
We do not. Jared listed as questionable for tonight. I wish that was encouraging, but he was listed as questionable for games 5, 6, and 7 with Orlando. So I think it'll be another one of those game time decisions. And so far as, you know, just how much pain can he withstand? I know he's in a lot of pain. It's more than just a bruised rib. And not to get, again, too deep into the weeds, it's not a broken rib or anything like that. But what's going on down there is that he has excruciating pain. And if you have pain in your ribs and you're trying to play basketball, that just doesn't mesh, because you got to raise your arms and you got to flail your arms on a shot or whatever. And it just would result in this pain that's unbearable. So we'll see. I think it'll be a game-time decision for Jared.
Tim, can the Celtics, you mentioned the fact they like to shoot the three ball. We know they're athletic. We've seen Tatum go to the hoop. Can that team withstand a physical punishment the way the Cavaliers put up with the Orlando Magic? And if the Cavaliers withstood that storm, so to speak, now we're a little bit tougher, I think. Can we maybe impose our will against the Boston Celtics and play a little bit tougher with them?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought even though his limits were limited on Sunday, I thought Marcus Morris, Tristan Thompson, those guys went out there and they showed some physicality. They showed some toughness. And I'm sure there's going to be some hard fouls tonight. Listen, this is playoff basketball. You hopefully aren't going to let Tatum just soar to the basket or Brown or whatever the case may be. And you may knock him down on a few three balls. And if that results in a four-point play now, and so be it. But you need to send that message. So, yeah, I think the Cavs will try to muck it up, per se, try to make it a physical basketball game, because that's not the way he wants to play.
Tim, what are your thoughts on the replay rules? And if you could tweak it, what would you change?
Boy, that's a great question, JT. I mean, I like the replay rule in the sense that if technology can get the call right, then let's get the correct call. I guess if I were to change it, I would put a time limit on it. It seems as though you sit there forever. And again, I know they want to look at every angle and they want to slow it down, but when you take all the momentum and the flow out of the game where the fans and the announcers are going, what's taking so long? We can see this here. So I think there ought to be a time limit to it. I don't like the fact that if you win your first challenge, you get another one. I mean, I like that. Mm-hmm. But then even if you win that second challenge, you're out. I don't understand that. If you're 2 for 2, why are you now out of challenges? Now, if you blow that first one and you didn't hit it, okay, well, there needs to be some sort of ramification for that, which would be now you lose your challenges. But I don't grasp the concept of if you win your first one and you win your second one, well, now you're done. And I understand you don't want to have 10 challenges, but at some point you got to say, okay, why are we now punishing you for being correct on the second one?
Timmy, what do they have to do to make this a series? I don't know if they can win it, right? Boston's the favorite, best record in all of the NBA in the regular season. They've got home court advantage in this one, but they are without Porzingis. So what do the Cavaliers have to do to give themselves a chance in this series?
Well, there's a couple of things, Kenny. First of all, they've got to shoot it a lot better. Boston's going to score points. I mean, one of the most potent offenses in the NBA, and you can try things defensively, and as I said, you can get more physical with them, but in the end, they're going to score points, which means the Cavs have to score and shoot a lot better than they did against Orlando. They've got to find a way to pick it up offensively, especially from beyond the arc. They really struggled on three balls against the Magic. That has to improve. That means Max Strus, but even throw in there George Niang and some other guys, Isaac Okoro even. You don't have to shoot 50%, but you've got to knock some down. I think the other thing is going to be, I mentioned earlier the analogy with boxing, tail of the tape. I think if the Cavs get a check mark in tail of the tape, if they play well, I think the Cavs have a better bench than Boston, especially with Horford now starting in place of Porzingis. That Boston bench is not deep. So if the Cavs bench plays to their capability, now they didn't do that against Orlando, but if the Cavs bench, the LeVerts, the Niangs, you know, those guys coming off that bench can perform, I think the Cavs bench can keep them within striking distance when Boston goes to their bench. I think the Cavs bench, along with shooting the basketball, is going to be huge in this series. If they don't play better than they did against Orlando, it could be a short series.
All right. How did you know that it was octopus instead of octopi when you call whatever the
both
play-by-play call was
in
that with the arm?
Both are acceptable. Octopuses or octopi? I read it.
I don't know. I saw arms everywhere. I swear I saw at least 8 of them. Really?
I'll tell you what, the Denver Nuggets are feeling that way last night.
Yeah.
How about that Minnesota defense? Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean,
no kidding, man. I didn't think they were going to win two, and I didn't know way Denver's losing two in a row at home, and Minnesota away from home goes in there and not only beats them, but beats them convincingly. And now, hey, I don't know, think it's going to happen, but they could sweep them and be waiting for whoever to play in the Western Conference Finals. Man, that's a shocker last night, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean that Minnesota defense was just stifling. I haven't seen something like that in a long time. And listen, I love good defense. Mm-hmm. I love the three ball and fast breaks and dunks. But, man, when you dig in defensively and you're stopping people, there's something to be said for that. And hats off to the T-Wolves, man. That was a terrific performance last night.
To me, they were saying during the telecast,
the Cavaliers have that.
Denver's not a great three-point shooting team. Cavaliers were pretty decent during the regular season. What was the biggest stumbling block shooting the three against Orlando? Was it just the fact that that team was so tall? I mean, or was it more like in between the ears with this Cavaliers team? Can they get that confidence back in this series?
Well, I think they can get their confidence back, JT. Anybody that, you know, has been around shooters or guys that can hit three balls, it does tend to be streaky. But once they see it go down a couple of times, all of a sudden teams can get on a roll. It can be contagious. And I think that's going to be the case for whether it's George Niang or Max Strus. Like, you saw him in the third quarter in games 5 and 7. The first one went down, and all of a sudden he's letting them fly. He just has that confidence level. So, as you said, in between the years, I think that has something to do with it. And again, I think Orlando's length did bother them on the three ball. You tend to forget that going into the series, everybody was talking about Orlando's defense. They were one of the top three defenses in the NBA this season, along with Minnesota and Boston. Those were the three teams. So Cavs now running into another tough defensive team, but you got to figure out ways to create decent looks. That's where the absence of Jared keeps coming back. I know we talked about this last week where the Cavs, they want to shoot three balls, but they want to do it inside out. They want the ball to touch the paint and then spray back out. They've lost that with Jared Allen. So that's a huge impact on this offense, not just for what he can do in the interior, but what it creates on the outside. So we'll see. I think if the first few fall tonight, then you're going to see the Cavs get into a rhythm. I think three-ball shooters, they can get it back pretty quickly.
Tim, I know it's good leadership, and I saw the video of Donovan Mitchell talking to Darius Garland during the game. Believe in yourself. You've got to believe in yourself. Is there something fractured, and I'm not talking about his jaw, with Darius Garland? I mean, how can this kid get back on track to where he was? We thought he was going to be a perennial all-star, and it seems as though he may have regressed a little bit. If this is a confidence issue, how does he get it back?
Well, I don't know if he's fractured. I think that's a pretty strong term.
Yeah.
He has not been the same since the broken jaw. And you gotta kind of take that into account in the fact that he couldn't eat. I mean, he's only drinking liquid for about 4 or 5 weeks. Basically, he couldn't talk. So his life, in essence, is shut down. And now he's got to come back and work himself into basketball shape. And again, I'm sure there was, you know, there were some issues just as far as, you know, how long is it going to take for me to get back to the level that I want to get back? And athletes will question themselves on that as that process goes through. So that second three ball, in other words, the second one that he shot after he missed the first, I think that was huge. I think that could catapult TG. And to Donovan's credit, to spray that ball back to Garland in the corner after he missed the first one, Cavs get the rebound, keep the possession. He puts it right back in DG's hand, and he knocked that down. That was incredible leadership from Donovan Mitchell to say, shoot it again. To your point, JT, have confidence in yourself. Believe in yourself. We believe in you. And when that ball splashed, man, you could almost sense the relief in DG, and then, of course, Donovan with the big bear hug as Orlando took the timeout. So perhaps that moment, that shot, is the one that'll get DG going, because it was huge.
All right, Timmy, we always appreciate the time. Have a fantastic call for most of the game that you can see, and we'll be listening and check in with you again later in the week, all right?
Hey, man, let's talk again this week. As always, nothing better than the best pick-and-roll combo in Canton, Kenny and JT.
There he is, Tim Alcorn, live from Boston before tonight's Game 1 between the Cavaliers and the Celtics, which you'll hear right here on WHBC at 7 o'clock.